So what I've seen work in other organizations is they'll say, if you're at all interested in security, come and chat to us in our security team. We'll have these conversations around some of the problems we're trying to solve and how it works with what you do day to day. And we'll give you the time, the resources, whatever it is we need to do to help you upskill in that space. And I know that any CISO listening is thinking, I don't have the time and the money, or whoever's managing those teams. I understand that. But on balance, if you take a developer that you're already paying, that's already onboarded, that knows your organization, and you can give them a few days, a few weeks, a year to either do some security-focused training or to actually implement some of this in some code, that's a lot cheaper and more efficient for your organization.
Is often the security in your roadmap for 2024? If that is the case, then this is the perfect episode for you, even if you have never done anything with Offense Security. So in this episode, we had Sam Kirkman, who's a director at NetSpy in the European region. We interviewed him at Black Hat Europe, and we spoke about what a offensive security should look like, what are some of the strategies, the team capabilities you should look at building when you are thinking of a offensive security program in 2024, even if you've never had one before. We also spoke about some of the nuances of, at least a lot of people, and I'm guilty of this as well, we all used to think that offensive security is truly just, as long as I do a pen test and maybe even have a bug bounty program, that's more than enough. But there is so much more to just doing offensive security in general in an organization and different levels of maturity you can go through. So we spoke about a lot more than just talking about the team capability and the general information about this. We spoke about capability. We spoke about the different types of offensive security you can think about as you work in a program. Where do you even start? What's a good starting point? And a lot more as well. If you enjoy this episode, and maybe if you know someone who's working on an offensive security program, maybe who's a manager or someone who's looking into this into their 2024 program, definitely share this with them, because this is going to be really helpful, at least leveling up the playing field for even for people who have never done this before as well. Now, if you are watching or listening to this for the second or third time, I would really appreciate if you can drop us a rating or review on iTunes or Spotify. But if you're watching this on YouTube, please definitely subscribe, because it definitely helps us know what kind of videos are being enjoyed more. Maybe like a lot of comment definitely helps us know what more questions that we should help answer for you as well. But otherwise, feel free to reach us on email if you have been listening and want us to cover a topic which we have not so far. I just want to also say thank you to everyone who came to us and said hello and gave us a hug at Black Hat Europe. Shilpi and I really appreciated it. I'm so grateful that you folks come over and say hello. I love it, and I'm so look forward to this. And this is probably the only reason we are driven to do more events as well, so we get to see a lot more of you, even the local meetups that we do as well. Thank you so much for doing this. I know holiday season coming up as well, and this was the last conference of the year, but I look forward to seeing a lot more of you in conferences in 2024 as well. I hope you enjoy this episode, and as always, I will see you in the next episode. Peace.
Maybe to start off with, if you can introduce yourself and give your background a bit.
Sure, yeah. My name is Sam Kirkman. I'm one of our directors of services here at NetSpy. So my job is to spend about half of my time pen testing for our customers. Mm-hmm. It covers a wide variety of different services that we offer. A lot of my focus is on the application side of things.
Yep.
And then the other half of my time is all about the rest of what makes NetSpy great. It's all about the quality drive, the focus on improving our processes, making sure our teams are equipped to do their job. And then the other component of that is some of the strategic stuff as well. My background was started off in strategic cybersecurity with Big Four consulting, moved into pen testing to really be on the sharp end of validating, is it secure, is it not? And then once I combined that really detailed technical stuff with the high level, it was a bit of security architecture as well, trying to help organizations build things secure by default. And then, of course, wrap that around with some testing to validate, did we succeed as well?
And maybe just to level the playing field for people, how would you describe offensive security, and is pen testing the only thing in offensive security?
It's a good question. I think it's often seen that way because it's a very simple way of viewing it. Offensive security as a concept, certainly the way we view it, you can think of it more as proactive security. Mm-hmm. And when you think of it that way, it encompasses so much more than just a pen test. When you're thinking about offensive security or proactive security, it's a shift from a defensive mindset where you would put in protective controls layer by layer, assuming you can put in a few layers, and just assuming that they work and trusting that you've ticked the box, you've done the job, you are now in a better position, to a mindset of, are we really? It's professional skepticism around everything in your cybersecurity space. And once you make that mindset shift, you'll usually start finding out that a lot of the controls and the mechanisms that you've put in place to improve your security have gaps under certain circumstances with the right context or the wrong context, depending on how you look at it. So it's more of a mindset shift.
You have
to take a look at not only pen testing, but even things like threat modeling and the broader landscape of actually saying, what happens if we attack this rather than just defend it?
It's great that you called out the fact that it's a lot more about
We always have that feeling, have we done enough? Is this enough or not?
For sure.
But these days, there's a lot more complexity to just a web app. I think a lot of people who would have been in the space for a long time, at least for me when I started, web app pen testing and infrastructure or network pen testing was the only two things that people would primarily talk about. And there was a whole, hey, I'm doing malware analysis and trying to do all that as well. Those people were like the elite people who were spending a lot of time analyzing malwares. These days, it's a lot more broader as well, though. I think there's a lot more things that people are thinking about. There's a whole, now we live in the AI world, unfortunately, or fortunately for some people. What are some of the other things people need to consider as part of what's more than just a web app or a network these days?
That's a really good point. Things are so much more complicated than they used to be. It's not that long ago in the grand scheme of things that if you wanted to run a website, it would be one computer system and it'd run the app and it'd run the database and it'd all be written in PHP at the back end and JavaScript at the front. It'd be fairly simple and you might scale that by having a few of those systems. But these days, it's entirely feasible to build massive global application that serves millions of people using not a single server, at least nothing you own if you start leveraging the cloud, which is a massive complex area because the cloud has taken everything we know about the on-premises infrastructure space and said, you can do that, but you can also do it in a completely new format with a whole new way of managing security, access control, patch management, depending on exactly how you deploy things in the cloud, that can matter or it cannot matter. There's a whole shared responsibility model in the cloud. And then when you have a look at things like AI and machine learning, that's moving so fast right now. And it's one of the things we've been looking at Netspire. We've got a team that's dedicated to testing and validating our processes for looking at AI security, because once upon a time, it was check the infrastructure and maybe have a look at the architecture of the model. But now, particularly with the public example of ChatGPT, it's pretty clear to see what can happen if you start poisoning input data and getting really weird output. And whether that's the data that trains the model originally or just the inputs at the end, I think at this point, it's a complex thing to get right. And it starts to become a game of thinking and planning rather than just running through the pen testing cycle and hoping that you tick the boxes.
Oh, cool. So I think what this made me think about is that a lot of CISOs maybe plan for the roadmap for 2024. Mm-hmm. And we spoke about offensive security roadmap. What is that? And is there really a need for offensive security? Because to what you said, it's a lot more complex these days. It's not just a server with a PHP and a JavaScript in the front end, but There's also Kubernetes, API, ChatGPT. There's a lot more things happening at that point in time. What is a offensive security roadmap for people? Probably are not even putting it in their roadmap for 2024.
That's a really good question. There is a lot of complexity to it. And I think the best way to put this would be with a bit of an example of what the traditional mindset has been in a lot of organizations. Being a CISO is a tough job. You know this firsthand, right? There's a lot that you have to consider. And when it comes to offensive security, it's easy to think that it's just another plate to spin and a lot of more things to plan and account for and budget for. But what we're trying to do in the offensive security space is not just be another plate, but be a tool for validation of the rest of your work. Because what the traditional mindset gives you of pen test your different assets and just say, is it working, is it not? That does tend to give you an isolated view of each component of your landscape. And a good example of why that can be problematic is what we see when we're doing this in practice, particularly network pen testing with red team services. What we'll see then is we'll test an application in isolation and the organization will say, we've tested this, we know that it's secure from these different types of attack, or we know we've got a couple of vulnerabilities here. And then our broader testing will actually demonstrate that if you can find a route through a completely unrelated component of your network, we can then get privileged access that goes all the way around the security controls that specific component is protected by using administrator access or something, and gets direct access to the database or the underlying server that runs this application. And unfortunately, that's just how it is. There's no way that you can secure your application in isolation and know that it's secure. You have to think about the bigger picture. So an offensive security roadmap these days needs to be able to validate the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. So it should be, here's the individual components. You need to understand your landscape. So that is an asset inventory. What have you actually got? Who owns it? Who's responsible for managing it? And how does it all interconnect? That's really hard to do. And a lot of organizations aren't there yet. But if you can get there, or you're willing to put the time and effort into making some progress, it opens doors to things like threat modeling. And you can start moving from the mindset of offensive security is a big pot of money and you burn it on pen testing every year, to offensive security is my ability to validate everything that I do as a CISO is effective and delivering value for my organization, which is a much, much better way to view it.
You know how we spoke about some of the complexity of how pen test happens these days? It's not just a server with some kind of PHP or JavaScript running. There's a lot more complexity to it. When someone's looking at doing an offensive security roadmap, and we spoke about it, it's not just pen testing anymore. Mm-hmm. It's a lot more holistic. You can go around controls as well. What are some of the things that people should look at in terms of, there's a red team, there's all these other things people look at.
Absolutely.
What are some of the components people should consider for their offensive security roadmap?
That really varies depending on the kind of organization that you are. And I'd say it's worth taking a step back and thinking about what you're aiming for.
Okay.
Because of course, if you're a CISO, you're aiming for security, but it's worth trying to nail down what success looks like. Find out what your objectives are. And I know that sounds really abstract, but if you take it as an example, if you're a charity, then your job is to provide these services to people who need your charity, then you're going to have a very different risk appetite and risk exposure to a financial institution that serves millions of customers. And your baseline requirement for what's secure is going to vary based on that as well. Then you've got to add in the context of where you're at on the journey as well. So for some organizations, security is a pretty new concept. For others, you've been doing it for many years already. You've got an established security operations center potentially inside your organization already. Figuring out where you are is the final step before deciding, what am I going to do next? And that's how you build your roadmap.
And what's a good starting point? I think you guys have been primarily working on the Europe, London kind of side as well. So keen to know from a breadth or different companies that you guys have worked across, what usually is a good starting point to think about an offensive security roadmap?
I'd usually say, once you've had that initial thought and conversation with the right people around what you're aiming for, it's to work out where your biggest gaps are. Mm. Because what we often see is organizations will have that, they'll have a pen testing cycle, they'll hit a certain number of things every year, they'll have a budget for that. They might involve something like a red team if they're in that position in their journey. But what they're often not doing is evaluating, is this giving me value? Is this actually delivering on the security outcomes that I'm aiming for here? So once you've had the conversations, that you've done the thinking, you can say, I either have the data to say my gaps are email security or application security or network security, or you can start narrowing it down to individual systems and services. Or you might say, I don't know. And that's okay too, because your offensive security roadmap should say, I need to get the services and the data to actually understand where my holes are. I don't feel like I have that visibility right now. Mm. So depending on where you're at, to give you an example, it's quite common that we'll speak to an organization that's been pushing hard on doing security. They've brought in various vendors and tools, and we'll say, is it working? And their response is, maybe. So the next step there is to go, let's do some testing. That's what we do in offensive security. Our security process is proactive. Instead of waiting to find out, did the security you implemented stop an attack? It's, let us check that for you. We'll bring the people in that have the skill set to run and simulate those attacks. And we'll tell you that stopped us and that didn't. And we'll then be able to say to you, this is effective, that's less so. And with your limited pot of money and time, and of course the resources and the skill sets, there's all sorts of limitations that we work with. You now know where to put your time, effort, and money.
Interesting. So a good starting point is just to get the baseline to what you were saying earlier as well. Find what your security baseline is at the moment, whether you're starting from ground zero all the way up to, you may have been doing for years and just looking for what that next level up after that is.
Yes, absolutely.
And how would you describe the maturity of different, I think the reason I talk about the roadmap is also because as a CISO, this whole people process technology thing, right? We spoke about technology piece with the different kinds of complexity that we are working with, APIs, Kubernetes, and all of that as well. From a technology perspective, we covered that. Process is obviously way outside our control. People can do whatever they want. In terms of people as well, one of the challenges that I used to find, at least in my colleagues, and one I personally went through, was when we would do a pen test, we would not have the right kind of person on our end to help the developers solve the problem. I remember the specific example of a Java library that we were working on, and we primarily had network security, cloud security kind of people, sysadmin kind of people, no AppSec experience, and they were trying to, the pen testing team identified some kind of library that was wrong. And the last time I did Java was in university, and I'm going, and so the developer asked me a valid question. She was asking me, oh, what am I doing with this? What's the right syntax? How do I make sure this doesn't affect the greater class and everything else? So, because the way Java works is it's a class up class, and I'm going, I have no idea. We obviously went to the pen testing team and got the exact syntax, but how it would affect the broader context, we weren't skilled enough for it. The reason I bring that example is because I wonder, in terms of teams as well, as someone's trying to build an offensive security roadmap, what kind of capability should they have in the teams to be able to not be in a similar situation to where I was? Because sometimes it's just easier to say to a CI or a CEO that, hey, because we have compliance needs, we need to do pen tests every year or every 6 months or whatever. and this is the budget for it, which may increase slowly every year because pen testing charges increases as well. So what would be a team capability that at least people should consider to have in their team if they are at that stage where they think they can build an offensive security roadmap?
Yeah, again, that definitely varies. And I wouldn't want to suggest that every organization out there goes out and gets as many cybersecurity professionals as they can. That's just not going to be the right fit for most organizations. It tends to be the most effective approach that I've seen, at least, tends to be trying to find security champions in your organization and your people already. So to take your example with a developer and you're working with the specific application, you clearly had somebody who knew how to write code and their expertise in security was less developed at that point, that it was relatively new to them. So while you could look at a managed service provider that specializes in re-architecting applications or fixing things, or you could work with your pen test firm and they may be able to offer you some quite tailored specific guidance, but the limitation that most pen test firms have, that they don't have the broader context, and as you say, when you've got classes and subclasses and all sorts of other impacts on other apps, it's something you've got to watch out for. If you shift to a mindset of security champions in your existing team members, what that means is that you've got all the expertise you already have and you're giving them the capacity to offer that value in the security space too. So what I've seen work in other organizations is they'll say, if you're at all interested in security, come and chat to us in our security team. We'll have these conversations around some of the problems we're trying to solve and how it works with what you do day to day. And we'll give you the time, the resources, whatever it is we need to do to help you upskill in that space. And I know that any CISO listening is thinking, I don't have the time and the money or whoever's managing those teams. I understand that. But on balance, if you take a developer that you're already paying, that's already onboarded, that knows your organization, and you can give them a few days, a few weeks, a year to either do some security-focused training or to actually implement some of this in some code, that's a lot cheaper and more efficient for your organization. And then you can leverage that knowledge when you need it inside your organization. And next time they'll know when a pen test team says, hey, here's this particular vulnerability, an injection attack, the developer go, I've done some training on that. I understand that. And here's how I know how to fix that as well.
Oh, so is this where the proactive part comes in as well?
Yeah, get ahead of the game. Teach people what they need. And then when it does go wrong, because that's just the way things work, you'll have the skill sets to fix it already.
And what would you describe as the different stages of maturity as well? Because I think, as you said, in the long term, probably works out cheaper for the organization to have resources being already trained, like the developers already trained in, hey, I know exactly what needs to be done when they see a situation, like a fire drill, I guess. But where do you find the different maturity checkpoints people can have in their mind for if I'm starting today with absolutely zero versus all the way up to if I've been doing it for some time? We started by saying security baseline is a good idea for everyone, so everyone may have some existing idea for it. Do you have some kind of a mindset or approach to what maturity may look like as people go through different roadmap stages?
Yeah, that's a very good line of thinking. We were talking just yesterday while we're here at Black Hat around the journey from the traditional mindset of just know where you're at roughly and do some pen testing, which is where a lot of organizations are. And you start to move towards validation of security. That security validation is where you become proactive. You start saying, I think I'm doing things, but let's go check that. Let's validate, is it working? And start targeting your efforts, resources, all of that stuff in a way that gives you the most value. And then eventually you reach this stage of what we describe as exposure management. It starts being, you understand where you're at, you're proactively testing and validating. And at that point, you are sufficiently comfortable with that process that you're managing it really effectively, a bit like how you'll manage a team of people in any line of work. You're at a point where you can get ahead of planning for what you need to plan for. You're in a position where you can say, I understand what my security risks are. I'm mitigating them in this way. I know that it's working in this way and not in this way. Here's how I'm going to fix it. Here's my accepted risks. That's a really important angle too. There's going to be some bits in every part of your offensive security roadmap where you say, I'm okay with that. I don't want to spend $100,000 on fixing that problem because I can spend $10,000 and fix this other one that's similar risk. And once you've got to that exposure management level, you're in a very strong position. And that's hopefully the gold standard where CISOs can maybe start to relax just a little bit, maybe.
And I was going to say, maybe. I don't think I ever relaxed, but I think the one thing I'm taking away from this is that having a security baseline is probably the good start, no matter what stage you're in, just having an understanding of what they have currently exposed. Probably number one is, I would say, in terms of sending people over to where can they learn more about this as well? Where can they learn more about the offensive security side? I feel like there's a lot of information about pen testing and all of that people can easily find. Is there something that you recommend people for a strategic roadmap kind of a thing as well? Where do people go for, how do I plan? Even just the fact that a lot of people would have heard the word red team for the first time on this episode as well.
Yeah.
They would go, oh, there's a red team. Do I need one internally? Or, oh, Pentest, do I need one internally? It happens at a different scale. Do you normally recommend resources for where can they go to learn about the offensive security side of the world?
There's a lot out there. You're right. But a lot of it is focused on the world of pen testing specifically because it tends to be the one that everyone gravitates to. I'd say that it's worth, as is the case with all walks of life, try and find a few different sources. And obviously, as part of the NetSpy team, we run a bunch of executive blogs, and they are specifically designed to help executives make those decisions because you haven't got time to become a pen tester and understand this at that level of detail. So our blog series is designed to give you that core information to say, here's what this is, here's how it makes things easier for you, better for you, whatever the case may be, and help you make those informed decisions. We also have our solutions architects, and that's what we do in our business. Right. So instead of you coming to us and you just speak to a salesperson and they'll try and sell you some stuff, our solutions architects, their sole responsibility is to find out how we solve your problem. Their sole function is to make sure that whatever we do for you, it gives you maximum value and solves the problem at hand. So from our point alone, that's how we're trying to make sure that when somebody's not too familiar or feels like they would like to know more, instead of just selling them services, we can give them knowledge that they can take to the rest of their career, to the rest of their roadmap. And then, of course, we can fit into that. But the bigger picture too, there's some great resources online. One thing that comes to mind is there's a brilliant CISO mind map out there that someone's put together. And it shows you all the different huge number of things that a CISO has to consider and their team as well. That same map works for and like an IT security leader, even just the head of an IT department as a whole. And you start to realize, I've got a lot on my plate. And you can start to look at, I need to learn more about this component. When you look at that big picture, you can go, I get this. This is familiar. I'm comfortable with how I apply that and get value out of it. And there'll be other areas that are new to you. And at that point, you can start saying, I'm going to talk to my network. I'm going to talk to other people. I'm going to talk to whether it's testers, whether it's other CISOs, whether it's just people that are nothing to do with IT and security. Because it's important to understand how all of the stuff we've talked about fits into the actual operations of your organization. We all know what it's like to have to change a password for the umpteenth time and every 3 months, every 1 month, whatever it is. And as a user, that's really annoying.
Yeah.
But we do it from a security point of view in many cases, even though that's a whole separate conversation about whether we should, but we'll save that for another day. But understanding the bigger picture by just talking to as many people as you can is going to give you a well-rounded view of how to proceed.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. And where can people find you on the internet to talk to you more about pen testing, offensive security roadmap, proactive offensive security?
You can head straight to netspy.com and you'll see that on our main website, there's links to our executive blogs and our technical blogs. And then for me personally, you can find me on LinkedIn under the name Sam Kirkman. It should be fairly easy to find. And my URL is sam-kirkman-cybersecurity. Yeah. So that's pretty easy to find. And then of course, sam.kirkman@netspy.com, and you can get straight through to me and we'll be happy to help with any questions.
Awesome. I'll add that to the link as well. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And that's all right.